It's Saturday, and welcome to Tiltcast Shorts, the new show that continues to push out stories on AI and game development. I'm Nos.
I'm Jason.
I'm Rusty. Oh boy. Yeah. AI.
Yeah.
Another AI one, yes.
I mean, it keeps coming up, right?
Well, I think it's going to come up more and more as time goes on, especially right now as big companies are starting to adopt it for stuff. This week's story we've got going on from it's a story from PC Gamer, and it's on Square Enix's push towards AI. They announced that they plan to use AI and automation to automate about 70% of their QA and debugging tasks in their game development by the end of 2027. And that's gotten some response.
I mean,
that's gotten some responses.
And we all like some Square Enix games. I mean, you still play the MMO, right? Final Fantasy MMO?
Final Fantasy 14 definitely is one of the games that I play. I am a big fan of of Square Enix's titles, and have been for a long time. But they've also done some weird stuff and made some announcements in the past. I mean, if you look back at the dog days of NFTs, they also said some stuff about NFTs back then too. And look where that went. But this one got some response, and the response that that we're looking at today is actually from the publishing director of for Baldur's Gate 3, Michael Dowse. He popped onto X and was he just poo-pooed this whole thing. He said the idea of replacing QA staff at a large scale is stupid.
I mean, it is. I think it's just an effort to cut costs. I think a lot of this deals with what do they call it? Like the scope for games are so big right now. It's the QA teams needed is pretty large, right? Like we've talked about before, it's a term that you've used quite a bit on this show, Rusty, of scope creep, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of Square Enix games are pretty big. It means that they need massive QA teams, so there's got to be some kind of balance.
The thing is, and this is what I've noticed just in my wheelhouse, like in my day job, right? The people at the top around the boardroom table look at AI as this magic wand that's going to fix everything.
Like, yes, it is.
They look at this as the answer to all of their problems, and they can actually use it instead of people to become way more efficient at things.
I think it helps with automating mundane tasks, right? Like really mundane tasks. So maybe having somebody jump the entire length of the map is something you do with AI, but then you focus on like quest design with actual people.
And that's kind of what I'm looking at here in my position. What my goal or what my job is to look at AI and sell it as a tool instead of the process, right?
Like
the tool that makes the process work better instead of replacing the person behind the process.
I was on a board meeting at work, and we were talking about using AI for a lot of different things. And I was like, I think the important things that you guys need to think about is think about when you're building a house, right? Like you could screw in all the screws right by hand, right? Or you could use the screw gun and it would be a lot faster. I was like, think about AI that way. You're going to use it like the screw gun for the screws, but you're not going to tell it to build the house. And I was like, and that's what AI is for automating those mundane tasks that with human hands takes longer with human, you don't need to tell AI to script an entire training module because it's going to do a horrible job. You need to have it directed and maybe have it reward things. But when you start getting it to script and you get it to direct all the videos, you're going to get some slop. And it's going to look really obvious. And it's not going to convey the message you want.
Not only are you going to get slop, but let's put it in context of what we're talking about here, and that is using it as in-game development or in quality assurance of game development.
Right.
And so that is the AI, because it is not a person, it does not functionally live in our world, doesn't have an understanding of really of how things work in our world. Now, a lot of the large language models are learning that, but still, because it doesn't actually live in our world, it lies a lot, but doesn't know it's lying. So it lies confidently.
Right. It makes it up because it doesn't know better. See, the thing is
the problem that I've seen, for example, with a lot of AI coding is, for example, you can ask for a line of code that is very, very specific to a part of a task you're working on. For example, like getting it to help you write a line of SQL code for let's say a specific report you're working on that you're stuck on getting the coding to work yourself. Mm-hmm. It's good for that. I've tried multiple of the different ones. Gemini and DeepBase seem to work the best for that, but ChatGPT is kind of okay for it. But there's still, if I, for example, try to ask for a new piece of code within the same conversation with the chatbot, still related to the same report, and let's say I post in all of my code, including what it had previously given me, edited into my code, it can completely lose base. And then I start seeing a bunch of errors in the code that I know as errors, and I'm relatively novelistic when it comes to SQL.
Right.
So, and I even notice that the syntax is wrong or the order of operation is wrong, etc. So it's not there yet. Two, even if you are retraining it on your own data sets, like previous game code, etc.
It
still doesn't have context for what you're currently working on, and it's not living in that. So it has no real way of being an active part of your team outside of some very, very specific limited instruction sets.
That reminds me.
And I think that's where a lot of these higher ups are kind of losing focus on what AI is actually good for right now. And those functions are extremely limited versus what they want it to be able to do.
Right. So that's the big thing that Michael Dowse was actually bringing up. In his post, he argued, that AI and automation 110% have a place in QA, in large scale game development. But it comes down to the human element, the human QA personnel, to really kind of keep it in check, because they're the ones that's going to be able to, to see in the real world, this isn't right. There's always going to be a need for a check and balance for this type of thing. And having, being basically rooted in what the QA goal is for the project, these people that are behind QA roles, they are very much going to use AI to make their job easier, but they cannot be completely replaced because of the slop factor, right? Besides the fact that most of the people who end up starting, you know, starting in the, you know, the game development process, start in QA. So if you take away that role and give it 100% to AI, you're going to start seeing a breakdown of how developers actually, you know, learn their craft and become the developers that, you know, that eventually create the code that the AI is checking
on. You're also eliminating what is potentially your best hiring pool.
Well, yeah.
I mean, for future developments. So with that, guys, tell us what you think in the comments. Do you agree with Rusty and I that this is a tool that should be used, that, for example, just to, when a QA finds a bug, okay, AI, go search for this specific bug, see how many times it happens. Let us know.
All right. You can find us at tiltcast.com. Find us on iTunes and Spotify. Search Tiltcast. And if you're on YouTube, search Tiltcast Shorts with a Z. We'll see you guys next Tuesday.